And to just launch it and do nothing with it is a shame. Like most people will write a book with the intention of this book will be, you know, a really good asset for me to create clients with, or this book will be a very good asset for me to build my authority or be able to get speaking engagements and things like that. But without the ongoing marketing of the book, you know, doing a bestseller campaign is fine. You're going to get that accolade, but you know, without the ongoing marketing, your book can very quickly turn into something that's not relevant anymore.
Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for listening to the show. I would love if you could give us your opinion on how you felt about the show, your experience that you have in regards to what we've been talking about. I am having an absolute blast, but your input is like dynamite on that explosion. So give us your input. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, concerns? Give us everything you got. We love it. Thanks. I hope you're having an awesome day. Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I'm super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Chris. Chris, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So give everybody the highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
I am Chris Benetti, first and foremost, a father and a husband to a lovely little 17-month at the moment and rapidly changing. What I do for business, I run a business called Smart Author Media, where we help business owners with books, market and advertise their books with, you know, Facebook ads, Amazon ads, and using sales funnels to really help them, you know, generate leads from the marketing and, you know, convert those leads into clients in their business.
I love it. So, how did you get into books as your thing?
Well, you know, I've been doing sales funnels for a long time since end of 2016. And so I got really good at making things that converted, that, you know, got leads at a good conversion rate, that got sales at a good conversion rate. And so that was a really strong skill set of mine. I've always had a good knack for design and designing things that look good as well. I kind of was just at a crossroads where, you know, my funnel design agency and conversion agency was a month-to-month business where, you know, like every single month I was just doing project-based stuff. So I was getting to the end of the month and having to go find new work again. And it was just really frustrating not having recurring revenue, you know, built into my services. And it was always a grind to get to those, you know, 30, 40, 50K months. So I really just knew that I needed to kind of envision the business and go for a more sustainable approach where we offered recurring services in exchange for recurring revenue. After a lot of market research, you know, we kind of identified that the author niche was kind of under service from a marketing perspective. They've got all the services in the world for publishing and, you know, doing bestseller campaigns and, you know, launching and writing and all that kind of stuff. But there's a very select few of people who do advertising specifically for authors. And so that was kind of the first distinction was cool. Like, how do we offer, you know, retainer fees and services to that group of people, and really help them get a result, which most of them want to sell books. Most of them want to take those book buyers and turn them into clients in their business. And that's kind of where I landed on, and found that I made my mark. And ultimately that led me to just doing a bunch of podcasts with other service providers in the industry, other best-selling authors in the industry. And very quickly becoming well known for what I do.
I love it. So there seems to be a bit of irony there in that most people will think of when they do a book launch and then their marketing for the book is done. So it seems that that would be the one and done kind of tactical service as opposed to the one that goes on. So how do you make that different? Why does a book have that longevity? And why should it have the longevity for the author as opposed to, oh, we booked, we launched, we got best on Amazon, now we're done, we're never going to talk about the book again.
Yeah, well, you know, the one and done services in the book industry are typically very high priced, I would say. You know, they range from $5,000 up to $100,000, depending on what you do and how you do it and who you do it with. So, you know, there's a lot of investment and time and energy put into the creation of the thing. And to just launch it and do nothing with it is a shame. Like, most people will write a book with the intention of, this book will be, you know, a really good asset for me to create clients with, or this book will be a very good asset for me to build my authority or be able to get speaking engagements and things like that. But without the ongoing marketing of the book, you know, doing a bestseller campaign is fine. You're going to get that accolade, but, you know, without the ongoing marketing, your book can very quickly turn into something that's not relevant anymore. And it's almost like, you know, analogy is, if we look at the social platforms, you know, would you rather publish good content on YouTube versus Facebook? You know, most likely your Facebook post can get a lot of traction in the algorithm, but it's probably going to disappear after a week. Whereas on YouTube, you know, someone can always search that and find that and view the content, get value. And the book is kind of the same, right? If we have it built out, it's such a good asset for us to have around and for people to be able to find us when they need us. And if we promote it and advertise it, then it's always going to be like at the top of the search, or, you know, at the top of the, you know, the Google, you know, news page, essentially. Like, you can always be at the top of the search.
Nice. So a lot of people think of YouTube as social media as opposed to what it is. So talk to me about how you use YouTube in particular to market the book and to work with that aspect of it.
Yeah. So we actually don't use YouTube for ads or anything like that, but, you know, it's a fantastic place for someone to publish content around their book. Mm-hmm. So one of my good friends has a book called How I Used Three Words to Sell 100,000 Books. And his name's Andrew. And he basically creates YouTube channels around his book. And so, like, every single week he'll create a video that's based around, you know, content from inside the book. And he'll just continue to publish content around his book. And then every single, you know, episode will or a video will have a link to go buy the book from Amazon in the description or from his website or wherever. So, you know, that's a really good organic way to use YouTube. For us personally, we're more of a pay to play, and we find that platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Amazon are our preferred marketplaces to spend money on to get books sold. Mm-hmm. And typically it comes down to Amazon. People buy books on Amazon, and so marketing on Amazon makes sense. It's usually more cost effective than running ads on Facebook, and we can usually sell a higher volume of books over there and not really have to worry about book fulfillment or anything like that, because Amazon will ship it, you know, essentially. The downsides are that you don't get any contact data when someone buys off of Amazon. You know, Amazon holds that data for themselves. So, you know, that's obviously a negative for someone who wants to get a lead and, you know, obviously turn it into a client. So that's where, like, the Facebook ads and the Instagram ads come into place. And, you know, a sales funnel is essentially us going, cool, let's get someone from a Facebook ad over to our website to buy the book on our terms so that we can get their contact data, so that we can potentially do some upsells in the process and things like that to, you know, offset the ad spend we're spending create a really good lead in the process. So that's kind of our preferred method.
Nice. Well, and a lot of people will think that if they keep kind of harping on the book, so to speak, that they'll lose the attention of their followers. Talk to me about that concern and the myth and the myth busting.
For sure. So have you heard of The Go-Giver by Bob Berg?
Yep.
I had Bob Berg on my podcast about a year ago. And this book is from the 90s or something. Bob basically said, whenever he talks about his book, he always talks about it like it's a new book. And the lessons and the things that people will learn inside the book are evergreen. So there's no need for him to not talk about the concepts, essentially. It's probably gone on to sell, close to 1 million copies, I believe, from memory. But yeah, it's just something that like people can get caught up in their own perspective around, you know, is this still relevant? Is it still something good to talk about? Like, I'm sure the people are getting sick of hearing me talk about this, but you'll always find that there's new people coming into your sphere, or there's, you know, there's certain times when people actually hear your message and don't. So, you know, a lot of the times people will just miss you talking about it. And then, you know, you might get upset if you post about it once and don't get the response that you want. But if you posted about it 10 or 100 times, you know, then you might actually get the outcomes that you're hoping for. And it's all just based on your own expectations and perceptions of what other people are thinking. So most of the time, you know, we just kind of blow out those perceptions. So I would just say, you know, if you have a book and you're afraid of continuing to talk about it, perhaps, you know, that's an internal thing where, you know, maybe you don't think your book is relevant enough to be an evergreen book that can last for 10 or 20 years and continue to talk about it. So I would perhaps like challenge you to maybe write a book that you can. But if it, you know, if it certainly is something that is evergreen and can be spoken about for a long time, then don't shut up about it. Like, just keep talking about it, keep promoting it, keep marketing it.
Nice. Well, and I also think that focusing on the ads through Amazon and increasing that is you find people when they're looking for it, right? So you're not kind of rehashing your own market. You're opening up new markets.
Yeah. And you can always change your targeting in Amazon. You can always target different book products. You can always target different keywords and categories. So you can always kind of be fresh and relevant in any kind of sphere that you want. But most certainly it is something that you can just continue to market for a long time. And there's always going to be new people who will come and buy.
Nice. So is there anything that you've seen that people do wrong when they have a book? Like things that they should avoid and go, oh, don't do that. that's not going to help you. And you're going in the wrong direction.
Mm.
Or is it just a matter of quitting? that's the big stopper.
Yeah, I do think that people give up on their book too easy. And I wouldn't say it was like, you know, it's a lost hope, but a lot of people put so much energy, time, and resources into doing the book in the first place that it's a shame to not want to market it, or, you know, not be able to afford to market it and things like that. Like, obviously, you know, there's the advertising side, which is paid, but there's a lot of things that people can still do organically to continue to get it out there. But I would say that that's probably the number one thing, and probably the hardest thing as well, is, you know, just continuing to market and get your book out there. Other mistakes? You know, I'm not really sure that there's like anything that stands out to me specifically. I think that, you know, any kind of action towards promoting your book, or, you know, wanting to advertise your book or anything like that, even if it is maybe, you know, the wrong process or the wrong method, you know, the fact that you're trying to do something is the most important thing.
Nice. Okay. So when somebody is working with you, do they have to already have their book? Are you helping them to kind of strategize that content? Or is it once they have their book, then you help them to strategize the marketing of it? How does that all work?
Yeah, I definitely stay in my lane. I'm a marketer. So, you know, we start engaging with people when they're like at draft stage and they've got an idea of how they, you know, want to get their book out there, and they might go, cool, you know, I'm 2 months away, Chris, but here's where we're at and what we're, you know, expecting to do. So, you know, I'll typically start engaging with someone then, and, you know, start even just getting some ideas of what we can do from a marketing strategy, what their goals are and whatnot from there. But most of the time it's like when someone has done their launch and they're ready to kind of go for the evergreen advertising and marketing of their book, that's kind of where we step in and start developing assets and ads and start using, you know, money, like I said before, to start advertising and promoting the book.
Nice. Love it. Okay. In a moment, I'm going to ask you about a Cinderella story of one of your clients. But before we do that, we're going to take a bit of a break.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.
So I am super excited to hear about a Cinderella story of one of your clients.
Yeah, so this is actually my oldest client. His name's Nigel Moore, not like oldest in age, but like oldest in how long they've been working with me. he's a very funny, wacky dude and is insanely smart. Nigel has a business that's coaches managed service providers. So people who do like Microsoft security and stuff like that online for other businesses. And his community is called the Tech Tribe. Anyway, Nigel is a really fantastic product developer. He's really good at serving his clients and thinking about what their needs are and just going over the top with value. But what Nigel isn't fantastic at is marketing. So he actually came to us and he's got two books. This is his first one. And he said, "Hey, Chris, like I saw what you're doing. I don't market my book. I'd love to run some tests for you. I'm currently have it for free on my website. So can we work on some campaigns together and get it out there?" And the goal for us was to build a book funnel for him to give away his book in exchange for a name and email. Give the new book downloader an opportunity to trial his Tech Tribe membership. Typically it's $50 a month. We were doing a $7 14-day trial. And after the fact, if they didn't take the trial, we would follow up with all these emails and continue to market and things like that. Through the process, you mentioned a pitfall for us. Nigel and I committed several sessions to writing a follow-up email sequence. And he was adamant that it had to be him to write the email. So I couldn't help, unfortunately. We ended up getting one email written. And for the past 18 months, we've only had one email written. So we never actually did anything with those leads in his CRM, his email managed provider. But what we have been able to achieve is tremendous success with the ads of the book. So on the front end, we have had thousands of people download the book in the past year and a half. And off the back of that, we've actually created hundreds of trials as well. So we're at about a 10% conversion rate for trials. So that puts us at about 400 trials. With Nigel's retention, he's, like I said, he's a fantastic product developer, cares a lot about the success of the people in there. They join and they're like, "Wow, this is amazing. I can actually see how Nigel can help me grow, how he can give me the templates, the tools, the resources." We've actually had a 98% retention from trial to membership. And then the membership retention is up there like that as well. So, based on giving a book away for free in exchange for a name and email, we've made over $100,000 in revenue. And we've built up MRR to around $20,000 per month. So if you consider like my agency costs and then the advertising cost, it took us a little while to build up that MRR and allow that to compound. It was about 6 months before we saw a profit, but from month six onwards, it basically started paying for itself. And now it's at a point where Nigel makes $15,000 profit per month and doesn't have to do anything. And I just continue to do my thing to get more trials for him, get more people to download the book and all of that. So $100,000 in revenue. We probably spent about $60,000-$70,000 in ad spend. So there's about 30 grand profit there. And then every single month now it's 15,000, 15,000, and it's continuing to build.
Very cool. That's awesome. So I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How did they start that journey with you?
Yeah, smartauthormedia.com is the best place to check me out. There's opportunities to book in a book marketing chat with me. So if you have a book or if you're at that like editing stage and you want some advice on, what you can do for marketing, then that's a direct conversation with me for 30 minutes where we can go through everything together. And if you want my help as well, there'll be an option on the call. No hard pitches or anything. I'd give value first and then just give you the opportunity if it makes sense for you to you know, have it done for you. You know, I've got an awesome YouTube channel as well, where we interview other providers who help with writing, who help with other avenues of marketing, and heaps of other cool things within the, you know, business of authors kind of space. And that's youtube.com/@SmartAuthor. And you can find the YouTube channel there.
Perfect. We will, of course, have all of Chris's links in the show notes. So go ahead and scroll down, click on the links, open up in a new browser, because we're not done yet. So, Chris, I get to ask you, at what point in life did you know you're a special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
Oh, that's a good question. out of high school, I went into an apprenticeship to become a mechanical fitter in the iron ore industry. So 17, I was very eager. I always had a good work ethic. I had worked every single day almost since the age of 13. By the time I left high school, I had $20,000 saved up. By the time I did my first year as an apprentice, I had $50,000 saved up, bought my first house at 18. And then my second at 21. Anyway, I ended up graduating and becoming a qualified mechanical fitter at the age of 22, I believe it was. And, you know, at that point, had two properties and naturally had to just learn about property investing and things like that, which, you know, led me from property investing books into Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then that just kind of shattered my world and belief around everything. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I think I read about 10 other Robert Kiyosaki books, and then went into the 4-hour work weeks and, you know, down that snowball of like all these awesome new paradigms for me. And so it was kind of that year as a qualified tradesman that, you know, I was earning about $165,000 a year. So I was earning good money, but I just hated it so much because of this new vision or view on the world that I had. So like that whole year, I was reading a book a week and I was looking at what other opportunities I could pursue to, you know, create money that could, you know, replace the money I was earning in the mines, essentially. And I didn't find something in that year, but I found a lot of knowledge and education around things, and it led me down the paths to becoming a funnel person and all of that. Like, I ended up finding Russell Brunson and ClickFunnels back when it was in its infancy. So it was kind of around that stage. It was, you know, when I was about 22, had already invested in a couple of properties, had already saved up a good amount of money, and just wanted more. I wanted something that I could have ownership on. I wanted something that created a lifestyle freedom like I have now, and could also support myself and my family. And that's kind of what led me to where I am. Yeah.
Excellent. I love it. You've been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So it's up to you to choose. That's my favorite quote. So, you know, whatever you put your mind to, you'll be able to make happen.
Beautiful. I love it. So all of you authors out there, aspiring authors, be sure to click on Chris's links. Go check out his opportunity for you to be able to use that to not only get your book sold, get into meetings with your ideal clients, get on stages to speak in front of your ideal clients, whatever it is, wherever you're going with it, make sure you give Chris a shout and go make that happen. Awesome. Thank you, Chris, so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I know how valuable it is.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Peeps, thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show and share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.